RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios.
Sail on down the line.
Final hour of the program is the start of the Brown Liquor Music Hour.
Don't really want,
you know how we do it on Mondays, Motown Monday, little Commodores to get us going here. Chuck Rose gets first quest. Sail On by the Commodores. I don't know. Either this one was their biggest hit, or Three Times a Lady were their biggest hit. One or the other. So this was a big number one song for the Commodores. This is the Lionel Richie version of the Commodores. So they would go on to, they would have success without Lionel Richie. They had Night Shift. That was a top 10 song. So
yeah,
wasn't the same without Lionel. So they were all from Tuskegee. Is that right?
I didn't know about all of them, but yeah, I did know that some of them were from, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it all of them?
I think it was all of them. Yeah, I think it was all of them that were from Tuskegee. I may be wrong about that. I definitely was wrong about Mark Anthony, and I thought the dancer had the kids.
No, I felt like it was, because I think that was her longest marriage, I think, Mark Anthony.
Well, that ain't saying. Yeah, that's like being the tallest midget. Yeah. Yeah.
But
that's like being voted nicest guy on death row. So, yeah.
Oh, so, yeah.
But did she have kids from somebody else?
No, she's just got the twins.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, she's just got the twins, and yeah, that was with Mark Anthony.
Okay,
so.
All right. Is she married to Ben Affleck? Did they get married?
No,
or?
They never got married. Okay. She was
they were together. Then obviously they had all their
right,
you know, fall to roll and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because I think their dating started when they did Geely.
Yeah, Geely.
When they did that movie, I think that's when they kind of started.
Right, but they've gotten back together there here recently, right?
Yeah, now they're back together, right? Because she broke up with A-Rod.
Yeah, because it's Bennifer again.
Yeah, and he left. Who was he with? Was it Jennifer Garner?
He was with
They were married.
Jennifer Garner were married.
Right.
But then you know who he dated after that was at Ana de Armas.
That's right.
He was dating her for a while.
So he left her, and J-Lo left A-Rod, and they got back together.
Can you imagine leaving Ana de Armas to go with J-Lo? like is that living a charmed life or what?
I know, right?
Yikes. Anyway, 404-726-0929. As the Braves have the night off tonight, and we'll get back into here toward the end of the week, we'll get back into our Braves closeout. But I asked this question of Chris Willis, and you know, I was talking about this. I was talking about this on my podcast, you know, this morning, that I think Raisel Iglesias has got a little bit of a bad rap, and I think people have had a little bit too much angst. I mean, think about the last 3 years, the closers that the Braves have had, right? Will Smith, Kenley Jansen, and Raisel Iglesias. You know, and it seems like that there is always angst that goes along when you have a closer. You know, if that, unless that closer is perfect and does no wrong and has no flaws or anything, there's always angst about your closer. And that's the way it is with Rozael Iglesias. But if you look at Iglesias' numbers, and I'm not saying they're all perfect or anything like that, but he is 18 for 20 in saves. He picked up a save yesterday. He is 18 for 20 in saves. So that's 90%. So when you look at closers and save percentages, 90% is always that sort of threshold that you look at and say, okay, that he's doing an effective job. Now, believe it or not, Craig Kimbrell is 16 for 16, I believe, in save opportunities this year. And there's another guy who is, I think he's 22 for 22. But again, he's, Rozael Iglesias is seventh among closers that have double-digit saves in save percentage. He's at 90%. So of all the closers that have at least 10 saves in Major League Baseball, he's got the seventh best, seventh highest success percentage. He also, and I understand a lot of people look at the losses, right? Like, again, that was one of my problems with Will Smith a few years ago, was just it was too many losses. Well, again, Iglesias has four losses on the season. When you look at that, there are nine closers who have double-digit saves. There are nine closers who have as many or more losses than Iglesias. So he's right there in that pack of guys where they're not flawless and they're going to have hiccups. You know, again, I always say this. Not everybody's Dennis Eckersley in 1990. Like, guys just don't go out and win the MVP award and shut down everybody and are unhittable like Eckersley was in the early 90s. Like, that's very, very rare and few and far between in everything. Like, that just doesn't happen on a regular – you don't have guys that have those kinds of seasons. You got guys that have seasons here or there, but nobody consistently has those kinds of years like Eckersley did in the early 90s. So, again, guys are going to have their hiccups. We saw Will Smith. I mean, how many hiccups did Will Smith have? But at the end of the day, he got the job done, didn't he? I mean, he closed out the world. I mean, the World Series was, you know, again, he was effective in the playoffs. Braves won the World Series that year. Kenley Jansen led the league in saves last year. He wasn't the reason why they lost the playoffs. Spencer Strider, you know, was injured and tried to come back, and they didn't pitch very well. And, you know, that was what happened. And Max Fried was sick, you know, throwing up with flu or whatever it was in a toilet and or a trash can or whatever. And he wasn't right. So Kenley Jansen wasn't the reason that the Braves lost last year. And Iglesias won't be the reason that the Braves lose, you know, if they do lose, you know, this year. So I think he's done a good job. I mean, again, he's not been outstanding. He's not the most dominant closer. And remember, he started off the year hurt. You know, he was injured to start the year and lost some time and had to work himself back into, you know, that kind of role. But when you have a guy that closes out 90% of your games, I don't know how much more you want. I mean, I know everybody wants that other 10%, but how realistic is that? You know, there aren't very many of those guys. Like I said, Craig Kimbrell's a guy that's 16 for 16 in save opportunities. And like I said, I think there's a guy that's 22 or 23 for 23 in save percentage. That's it. That's the only perfect guys that are in Major League Baseball. Everybody else is treading toward that, you know, Iglesias type of number and stat line. So I think Iglesias has been fine. I don't think there's a reason to upgrade a closer or anything like that or anything kind of crazy, you know, to it. But the optics at times just they don't belie they don't paint the whole picture because of one hiccup or, you know, one optic that doesn't look good. It doesn't really tell the entire story of what's going on with him. And again, he's 18 for 20 in save opportunities. So couple other things here as well. As we get toward Falcons training camp, we'll talk some Falcons football here coming up in the next segment. But as we get ready for Falcons to truly open up their training camp, you know, Day-Day, do you go up to training camp at all to cover the Falcons?
I did last year. I went like 3 days maybe last year.
Okay.
So won't be able to probably do that this year. I mean, maybe
was
go.
Was that for our station or was that for?
Yeah, that was here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
For the game. Yep. I did a couple of the videos that we had with, I think it was Andy and Randy talking with Younghoe Koo, and then Dukes and Bell talking with Jake Matthews, I believe it was.
If you've never been to camp, and I guess most of our listeners probably have been, you know, to camp.
But yeah.
If you've never been to camp up there, I know it's a long ways away. I mean, it's a haul to get. To get up there, I mean, it's a good, you know, it's up in God's country. I mean, but if you've never been to camp, you know, try to make plans to go out, especially like on a week. It is kind of fun. I mean, it's one of those things that if you've done it once or twice, then that's what you need to do, right?
Like, yeah.
Like I've always said that you need to see the Rolling Stones in concert one time, right? You need to see them one time in concert. You should go up to training camp one time if nothing else. Take the kids and go on a Saturday or Sunday and have some fun up at training camp. And again, tickets are free. You just got to go register for a ticket, but tickets are free, so it doesn't cost nothing to get in. But it is kind of fun. I mean, it is a fun environment. And personally, the thing I like best about training camp is just kind of catching up with people that you don't normally see. It's just kind of, you know, talking to, again, last year, talking to Finneran and guys like that. I mean, Joe Hamilton. I mean, you know, and again, we can say the other stations, you know, folks that are on there. But talking to just guys like that, just hanging out and talking with those guys. I mean, that's the fun part, you know, for me, you know, up there. But it is fun to get, you know, to talk to some of the guys and just kind of pick their brain a little bit, where it's a little bit more loosey-goosey type of environment. I mean, you're getting guys over to come over to a table and just kind of, you know, chop it up a little bit. And again, you know, fans can have some interaction with the players and stuff like that. But it is a little bit fun. I mean, you don't learn a whole lot and you don't get much in the football sense of things. And obviously they're not running anything that, you know, is, you know, earth shattering or, you know, kind of intriguing or anything like that. But again, it is fun to go up there. So if you get a chance, head on up at some point. They've got lots of open dates, and especially on the weekends, lots of availability. Usually they start at 9:30 in the morning, so try to find your way up there. Did you see where Trae Young got married
yes,
over the weekend?
And announced that they're having another child as well.
Oh, is that their
mistaken.
Second one that they're...
That they're getting right there, that okay. She's pregnant with? Yeah, because remember, she had the son. Was it last year that she had the son? I guess it had to be because, yeah, she's pregnant again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good for them. I mean, so mm-hmm. they got married over the weekend. Some,
yeah.
I forget where the ceremony was, but they got they officially got married over the weekend. And are we still waiting around for the Hawks to do something?
I really am a firm believer, Chuck, that they're going to – I hate to use the word. I'm not going to use that word, but I think they're going to
run it back.
Yes, mm-hmm. I'll say it that way. I think you're starting five. You're looking at Bay, Trey, DJ. Who am I missing? What's the kid? The one DeAndre and Clint. That's going to be your starting five, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Pascal Siakam's coming here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to work itself out. I mean, that's
no.
There's a lot of rumor and innuendo. There's a lot of
it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it doesn't make sense when you look at what this organization is. I mean, because are they going to sign another, you know, max guy? I mean, are they going to add another max player and they're going to add another $120 million player to their roster? I don't see that.
And then on top of that, like with you don't bring a guy that's not going to sign with you unless you know without a doubt that guy is going to be the man that can get you there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, again, the Hawks are not in a position to roll the dice on a Pascal Siakam and then
no.
not be able to re-sign him.
Yeah, no. Mm-mm, you can't do that.
But remember, he's going to be a max player. I mean, that's the thing is he's not taking fish heads and rice. He's wanting max money. I mean, his contract will probably be bigger than what DeJounte Murray's contract was.
Right.
Because he's going to test free agency, and it's it's going to be higher than what DeJounte Murray's is.
Right.
So are you willing to fork out another, whatever, let's say $150 million or whatever it's going to be at the end of the day? I mean, if that's what it's going to cost you, I mean, that's what he's going to ask for. Like, he's not settling just because he wants to play for the Hawks or anything like that.
Right.
Remember what his brother said? He said, there's no way we're coming to Atlanta and all that kind of.
Yeah.
Because they know. I mean, these guys know that the reputation is, Tony Russell will pay people, but then they'll trade him away and, you know, send him off somewhere. But, yeah, I had a lot more anticipation about this Hawks offseason, and maybe something else will happen, but I had a lot more anticipation about what was going to happen, that there was going to be some, maybe I got my hopes up, there were going to be some wholesale changes on some stuff, but by and large, you're probably just going to run this thing back, like we talked about.
Yeah,
so,
I think so.
So anyway. All right, when we come back, 404-726-0929, your biggest strength and your biggest concern for the Atlanta Falcons as we head into training camp. Biggest strength, biggest concern as we head into training camp for the Atlanta Falcons. I'll give you mine. Day Day will give you his. We'll take your calls on it next. Chuck Ring, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuck Reese Show. 404-726-0929. That is our phone line if you want to be part of the program. It's also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be on the show. We're asking you the question. We talked about this earlier in the evening. The biggest strength and your biggest concern for the Atlanta Falcons as they get into training camp. And obviously, training camp will open up on this Thursday. We'll have exclusive coverage for you Thursday, Friday, then the entire following week after that. So we will be live and local, as we always are, from Falcons training camp. So we'll have all the best coverage. The Morning Shaft, the Chuck House, Dandy and Randy, and they'll be all at the Flowery Branch. And then Dukes and Bell will be up at the Hooters at the Mall of Georgia. And we'll be where?
Here.
So 404-726-0929. Day-Day, if I ask you what the biggest strength of the Atlanta Falcons is and what's your thing that concerns you the most, what would you say?
For me, biggest strength, I think, is going to be defense overall. I really like what they did, the additions they made. I think AJ is going to bounce back this year as well. So I just really think defensively, I know pass rush is still on a lot of people's minds as far as whether or not they truly address that. But I just think overall, defensively, they've really beefed up, and I think that's going to be their strongest suit. Biggest concern is just how well Desmond Ridder manages the offense. He's got the weapons, and I think I said this last week, you know, if you look at his college career, like, people say, well, they didn't play against the talent level. I mean, listen, regardless, what I see is what you're telling, what for me, what it looks like is, regardless of who's in the positions, if he's got the right coaching, he's in the right system, and everyone's doing their part, he shows that he can manage well. So it's just a matter of how soon he can get things together and that the fans don't lose and get, you know, impatient.
Yeah, and I will say, I mean, for people that criticize their lack, yes, week in, week out, they did not play the SEC. But, you know, in his college career, he played Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, UCLA. He played top programs. It wasn't like he never played against anybody good. Again, we remember Georgia and Alabama, you know, in back-to-back years. I mean, that was the two final games of the year for Cincinnati, was Alabama and Georgia. Mm-hmm. So, again, they played good competition all the way around. And then and Cincinnati played Ohio State. I mean, so anyway. So my biggest strength, I think, for the Falcons is just the ability to control the offensive line of scrimmage. I mean, that's where their best strength lies, is being able to dominate at the line of scrimmage, especially in the running game. I mean, they were a top five rushing offense for a reason, because they could lean on that offensive line, especially when you start running behind the right-hand side of that offensive line. That was a real strength for this team. That's probably the strongest unit for the Falcons is their offensive line. But that was a real strength, where you could, week in, week out, you could rely on running through that offensive line and having those guys up front get their job done. Now, biggest concern is I'm still going to go with the pass rush. And I know there's been improvements, and I know it's gotten better, and I know that, you know, things are all good in la-la land and everything else, but I still have my biggest concern about the pass rush. So that's the thing that worries me the most.
Definitely have a question about the team's pass rush.
Oh boy, oh boy. Well, I mean, but to be fair though, Day-Day, to be fair, you know, sacks are probably not looked at the same way for
the more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are. And
oh boy, oh boy. Look, will they be better? I don't know if they're. I really don't know if they're a 38 sack team or not. I don't. I've always said that 40 number is that magical number. That's where you can pretty much guarantee you're a playoff defense. If you get to 40 sacks, you're going to be in the playoffs. And I don't know that they are that level yet. Now, could they be 25, 30? Yeah. I mean, they could be that. And if Ebba Cady has a really big year and Caden Ellis has a good year, I mean, yeah, they could be close to 40. But again, as we've talked about, you know, I've given all the numbers. 70% of the playoff teams since 2016 have had 38 or more sacks. The last 14 Super Bowl participants have averaged 43.5 sacks. The number two team in the NFL last year won the Super Bowl in sacks. The number three team in the NFL won the Super Bowl the year before that in sacks. And the number four team in the NFL the year before that, Tampa Bay, they won the Super Bowl. So you have to sack the quarterback. I have a lot of hope and faith and prayers and well wishes about, you know, the guys that we have. And I think Ebba Cady could be a guy like that, but it's not guaranteed. You know, it's not, again, we can guarantee Myles Garrett's going to get off the edge and clobber people. We can guarantee Joey Bosa is going to get Nick Bosa is going to get off the edge and clobber people. You know, we can guarantee Micah Parsons is going to, you know, roll right through, you know, a team's offensive line, and he's going to game wreck everything. We don't know that about
Any of them.
Ebi Katie, yeah, really? Or anybody. Yeah, really? I mean, for that matter, anybody. I mean, you know, we think Grady's pretty consistent, but, I mean, again, he's not 22 sacks like Aaron Donald. He's six, right? And I think David Onyemata can be a guy he did last year. He could be six or seven sacks, but that's still not 38, 40. You know, it's still not – still has got to be some of those guys that, again, Campbell, Carter, whatever. Got to be some of those guys contributing. But certainly I do think that Ebi Katie has to be the guy that makes that big leap forward. I think he's got to be that guy that takes that biggest jump. Even more than Desmond Ridder, I think Ebi Katie has to make the biggest jump and the biggest leap for this team this season. Or, you know, if he's a guy that's only two or three sacks, I don't know that there's a backup plan to get where we need to be. I don't know if there's a backup plan to get us to where, you know, we're looked at as like a playoff caliber defense and all of that. So, again, that's my biggest concern. That's still my biggest concern with this team. And another strength that I do think that, you know, is, you know, the most improved area of their football team, I think it's their secondary. I do think that they have a good, legitimate secondary that can do a lot of different things. Now, again, we talk about coverage sacks and things like that. You're not going to be able to cover – if you can't get to the quarterback, your secondary is not going to be able to cover five guys coming all around and dipsy-doo and all this good kind of stuff. That's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to cover up for that fact. You're not going to be able to cover everybody that comes out, you know, to catch passes. So if you can't get to the quarterback and you allow a guy to just kind of stand back there and pick his way through you, you're going to be in some trouble. You're going to have some trouble for all of it. So that's what I look at. But it is exciting, you know, that we're finally here at the season. 404-726-0929 is our phone line. It is exciting that we're here, you know, and getting to the point where camp's going to be in just a couple of few days away, and certainly we are, you know, going to have all the coverage necessary for it. And we're 2 weeks away. We're 2 weeks from Thursday is first preseason game. 2 weeks from Thursday, first preseason game. So, again, it's hard to believe that it's here, but, yeah, it's officially here. And by the way, too, I mean, we hadn't even talked about necessarily college football. You know, as SEC Media Days wrapped up, I believe – Is this week ACC?
ACC is this week.
Yeah, ACC. Do we have anybody that's up there at ACC?
We do have Chad coming on this week because he'll be up there. His first ACC Media Day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The new beat writer for Georgia Tech.
Yeah,
okay.
So we do have him as well.
Chad Bishop, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. All right, that's good. So do we have anybody from our station?
Oh, from our station. Yeah. I had not heard that we do. Yeah.
Okay. Because Goforth and Garrett did a great job.
Yeah, so they did. Last
congrats
week,
to those guys for all the coverage. And obviously, we talked to Chris Goforth all week long. So hats off to those guys. They did a great job. And we were fully covered up at the SEC Media Day. So that's all good. So, yeah, are they up in Charlotte? Because usually they're up in Charlotte or somewhere up there, like one of those – country club resorts or something like that up there. So, but anyway, we'll talk to Chad Bishop this week at some point. So, and we'll get his thoughts about what we're seeing at the ACC Media Days. As I will be very interested to see if we talked about the all SEC teams. I will be very interested to see if Clemson has their run ending this year, because I do think Florida State is going to win that conference. I think Florida State's going to win that conference. I think Florida State is the best team, and I'm hitching my wagon to Florida State. Now, that may be their death knell. That may be the thing that completely...
you might have just...
Yeah, like that may be the thing that truly derails them, but I love what Florida State's got going on. I love all of the personnel that they have brought back, and if Mike Norvell can't get it done this year, I don't know when he's going to get it done, and he's... You know, again, he's got a team that is loaded up there, you know, both on their defensive side, both on their offensive side. You know, they have a ton of personnel, and they should be the favorites to win the ACC. Like, they should be the favorite to win that conference this year. Like, this should be the year that Clemson is not picked number one.
Right.
I think Clemson's got a lot of questions. I think I think Clemson as a program, you know, they have not been coached very well offensively the last few years. I mean, that's been a reoccurring theme over the last few years. Really, since Chad Morris left, they've not had good offensive coaching. And their identity and their system and, you know, their playing personality, it's not been there. It's not been there. But this should be the year of Florida State that if there's going to be a year where somebody's going to, you know, upset Clemson or be picked ahead of Clemson, it should be Florida State. With everything that they've got returning back, they should be. And, again, it's not divisions anymore.
Right.
So there's no SEC East or anything West. It's all – the ACC is just one jumbled mess for all of it. So one jumbled mess out of everything. So we'll see what happens. But I think Florida State is the class of the ACC with what they've got coming back. They've got maybe the best quarterback. I mean, Drake May is obviously, you know, the other guy that's being looked at is who's the best quarterback in the conference. And that's probably Drake May or Travis Jordan. Sermon is one of the best running backs in the conference, and Jared Verse is just a beast. I would have loved to have seen him come out of college last year in the NFL draft, and the Falcons gotten their hands on him. So, but you know, again, we don't draft pass rushers because you know we're too busy. I mean, again, we have other priorities because sacks really kind of aren't as important nowadays. So, I mean, we don't really pay attention to
the more you look at the advanced analytics, the more you see how valuable sacks are. And
oh, okay. Well, maybe something like that. So anyway, but we'll see what happens. But I think Florida State should be picked to win that conference this year in the ACC. And, you know, that would be interesting. You know, if Clemson and Florida State can hook up in the ACC title game, because now that they're going to divisionless formats, they can certainly meet up again. They'll play during the regular season, but they can certainly meet up again in the ACC title game, and that would be a fun rematch, you know, whatever happens in that game. That would be a fun rematch to have. All right, one more segment to go. Then Jason Longshore with Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Chuck Green, the Key Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Ah, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Chuck Free Show. At the top of the hour, Jason Longshore at the Atlanta Soccer Tonight. This Diana Ross is a tribute to Marvin Gaye and Missing You. Somebody, who else was the other? Since you've been away, was there some other artist?
That did this song?
No. That she wrote this.
She wrote the song.
Well, she didn't write the song, but I mean, this was her tribute to Marvin Gaye, who was killed around the same time. So I thought there was some other artist that was featured in the song. Because Night Shift is about Marvin Gaye.
That was
Gaye.
About Marvin, yeah.
Yeah, but it's also about, is it Jackie Wilson or somebody?
Jackie. Yeah, you were a friend of mine. Yep.
Yeah, it's about Jackie Wilson and Marvin Gaye. So, but this may be about somebody besides just Marvin. I don't remember, but anyway. 404-726-0929. A week from this coming Saturday is going to be SummerSlam, which is arguably... by the way, too, we will not be here tomorrow night. So we got Atlanta United Soccer coming up as, I don't see the play-by-play, but Inter Miami, they will take on, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30?
Yeah, 7:30 kick, yep.
So that will be coming up that League's Cup that they're in, and they'll play on Saturday in that League's Cup as well. So we'll see if Atlanta United can add to their trophy case, but that's where that's at right now. So we'll get a chance to see Messi coming up here as and not like Messi in the way of dirty or unclean or whatever like that, but Lionel Messi, as he will be in, I guess he'll play in Miami because he's going to play on grass, right? So we're setting up for SummerSlam, which, you know, is arguably the second biggest pay-per-view of the year for WWE. I mean, you could make a case whether it's – I mean, the four tent poles are WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and Survivor Series. That's the four tent poles, right? That's what holds the tent up. You can make a case that they look at SummerSlam as their number two pay-per-view of the year. And considering how good the WWE has been this year, and Dade, I don't know if you've seen some of the ratings and stuff, ratings are through the roof. Like, there are millions of people watching SmackDown just to see the Bloodline feud and all that kind of stuff. So ratings are through the roof on SmackDown. Like, Fox has got to be thrilled with the type of ratings that they're pulling in right now. But arguably, SummerSlam is their second biggest pay-per-view of the year. And I thought WrestleMania was a great show. Like, I thought it was a terrific show. There were some hiccups and stuff like that. Like, there was some crap. You know, those whatever they were, six-way matches or four-way matches or whatever they were. Like, there was some crap, you know, in WrestleMania. But everything delivered. Well, I should say everything delivered except for Cody losing at the event. But they usually pull some surprises for SummerSlam. Like last year, was it last year when Becky came out? She'd been injured. No, when Becky was pregnant and she came back at SummerSlam and beat Bianca in just a few minutes. Oh, no, last year was because they were in Nashville. Last year was when Bayley and the group came back. So there's always surprises. And there's always, you know, some fun stuff that goes along with SummerSlam. So given how good the WWE shows have been this year, and I did not see Money in the Bank.
Didn't? So we didn't talk about Money in the Bank. I didn't think we did.
Yeah, we didn't because I didn't watch it.
Man, listen, overall it was okay, but the pop Seth Rollins got when he came out, if you get a chance, just at least go back and watch it. Him, that the match was okay, but go back and watch his, that dude, he's their star. Like, I know he's not,
he ain't Roman,
right? But I'm just saying, like, if they get it right with him at some point, like, I'm telling you, Chuck, if you go back and watch his intro,
but see, here's the thing, it's his gimmick is so ridiculous, though. I mean, look, He's a terrific wrestler. Like, he's he might I think he's the best in-ring guy in WWE. And, okay. and that takes into account Cody Rhodes. I think Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are the two best in-ring guys that they have in the promotion. And Seth is a terrific wrestler, but his gimmick is so stupid. Like, that whole just the boas and just the look. And then the singing of the song, the whole thing is ridiculous.
I know.
It's ridiculous. It looks so different than when Roman comes out to the music and it's a big production, you know he's the guy.
Right.
Like you know instantly when you look at Roman Reigns, okay, he's the guy.
Right.
But with Seth Franklin Rollins. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, if you get a chance again, watch from the beginning, from when his music comes on, because like what you're saying about Roman, he had that moment that particular night.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, he's a very popular wrestler because, again, they sing the song and all that good stuff, and I get that. I mean, I think he's a even when he was Tyler Black back in Ring of Honor, he was a terrific worker. I mean, he's always been a great wrestler, especially for modern style wrestling. Like, it's not classic grappling and stuff like that. I mean, he does a very modern style, like Daniel Bryan. But again, I'll say he's the best worker in the WWE. But his gimmick is just ridiculous. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I don't get it. It's almost like he's a cross between Macho Man and... Who was I thinking? I was saying Macho Man and somebody else, like, but...
A lunatic? I
mean, but...
That's what it is. I mean, it's just... He hasn't had a good gimmick since The Shield.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his last really good gimmick. All this other stuff they tried with him, the Monday Night Messiah... And all these other gimmicks that they've tried have been awful.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, I mean, again, you know, given who his wife is, and she was the all-timer of getting herself over. Mm-hmm. I mean, she got herself, she was Austin-esque in the sense of how she got herself over.
Right.
To having flipped the script on, you know, being a heel and then being, I mean, she at one time was the most popular wrestler. She was the number one merch mover for the WWE. But it's just, I don't know, his presentation is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know how good a worker he is, but it's just ridiculous when you watch him. So, but it, you know, Brock's back now, so him and Cody are going to have their third match. Yeah. So that's going to be probably Cody going over and stuff like that. It looks like Gunther is going to take on Drew McIntyre for the. And that was, you know, again, that was a fun match. The Drew McIntyre, Sheamus, Gunther match at WrestleMania. That was as, I'm telling you, that was as physical of a match as I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like that felt like that they were really going after one another. And so hopefully him and McIntyre have a good match. Because I like McIntyre. I've had Drew on the show a couple of times. I think he's a good wrestler. I think he did not get booked very well when he beat Brock at WrestleMania in the pandemic year. His booking was not very good. But there's always some surprise. I wonder if Randy Orton is going to end up coming back. There's a lot of talk about he's going to come back with Riddle, or there's talk about he can form an alliance with Cody Rhodes or something like that. So, but there's a lot of talk about they didn't know when he was going to come back. They thought maybe at the beginning of the year he could come back. But I wonder if SummerSlam is where they're going to debut Randy and bring him back.
I saw on Facebook, I think yesterday, that one surprise that's supposedly being talked about is the Rock's niece and the other young lady that's all part of that whole family. But they're supposed, the two young ladies, they're supposed to come back and somehow tie into the bloodline thing.
Oh, the niece?
Was it the Rock's niece? His niece and his daughter, or his daughter?
Well, his daughter's in NXT.
Okay, so.
And then Nia Jax is.
So Nia.
Oh, God.
And then, but supposedly.
She's awful.
Yeah, but supposedly, that, it, again, rumor. You know, I saw it on one of those wrestling Facebook groups. So
the other rumor has been. Is that, you know who the Usos' father is?
Yeah, Rikishi. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been rumors about, is he going to come back or not? You know, would he make an appearance?
Right.
Like, let me tell you, if Rikishi made an appearance and backed up his kids, that would blow the roof off the place.
Yeah.
Like that would, because again, this is the tribal. This is for the tribal council or whatever
right?
The Roman, you know, for the council. It would blow the roof off the place. If Afa and Sika showed up, and they've done some stuff for WWE, if they physically can show up and Rikishi showed up, oh my God. It'd blow the roof off the place. By the way, they're in Detroit for the first.
Is that where it's gonna be?
Yeah, Detroit. SummerSlam for, I think it's at Ford Field.
Oh, nice.
I think it's going to be at Ford Field where they have SummerSlam.
Something's definitely going to happen, I think, as far as that storyline goes, just because of how SmackDown ended Friday.
Yes, and this is the kind of show where you advance that story big time. Like, this is the kind of show where you start to advance the storyline at some point. So you have to do it at SummerSlam. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's always – SummerSlam's always a big event, but they treat it like their number two pay-per-view and – there's usually some good surprises going along with it. So we'll see what happens, but that's a week from Saturday, the 5th of August. All right, when we come back, I'm going to wrap it up with the Love TKO, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app. Yeah.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Ah, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Chuck Bre Show. At the top of the hour, Jason Longshore at the Atlanta Soccer tonight. This Diana Ross is a tribute to Marvin Gaye and Missing You. Somebody, who else was the other? Was there some other artist
that used the, that did the song?
No. That she wrote this.
She wrote the song.
She didn't write the song, but I mean this was her tribute to Marvin Gaye, who was killed around the same time. So I thought there was some other artist that was featured in the song. Because Night Shift is about Night Shift is about Marvin.
That was
Gaye.
About Marvin. Yeah,
but it's also about. Is it Jackie Wilson or somebody?
Jackie. Yeah, it's about Jackie Wilson. Yep.
Yeah, it's about Jackie Wilson and Marvin Gaye. So, but this may be about somebody besides just Marvin. I don't remember. But anyway, 404-726-0929. A week from this coming Saturday is going to be SummerSlam, which is arguably. Oh, by the way, too, we will not be here tomorrow night. So we got Atlanta Soccer. Atlanta United Soccer coming up as, I don't see the play-by-play, but Inter-Miami, they will take on, is it what, 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30?
Yeah, 7 pre, 7:30 yeah. Kick, yep.
So that will be coming up, is that, what is it, that Leagues Cup that they're in, and they'll play on Saturday in that Leagues Cup as well. So we'll see if Atlanta United can add to their trophy case, but that's where that's at right now. So we'll get a chance to see Messi coming up here as and not like Messi in the way of dirty or unclean or whatever like that, but Lionel Messi, as he will be in. I guess he'll play in Miami because he's going to play on grass, right? So, but we're setting up for SummerSlam, which, you know, is arguably the second biggest pay per view of the year for WWE. I mean, you could make a case whether it's real. I mean, the four tent poles are WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Royal Rumble, and Survivor Series. That's the four tent poles, right? That's what holds the tent up. You can make a case that they look at SummerSlam as their number two pay-per-view of the year. And considering how good the WWE has been this year, and Dana, I don't know if you've seen some of the ratings and stuff, ratings are through the roof. Like, there are millions of people watching SmackDown. Just to see the Bloodline feud and all that kind of stuff. So ratings are through the roof on SmackDown. Like, Fox has got to be thrilled with the type of ratings that they're pulling in right now. But arguably, SummerSlam is their second biggest pay-per-view of the year. And I thought WrestleMania was a great show. Like, I thought it was a terrific show. There were some hiccups and stuff like that. Like, there was some crap. You know, those whatever they were, six-way matches or four-way matches or whatever they were. Like, there was some crap, you know, in WrestleMania. But everything delivered. Well, I should say everything delivered except for Cody losing at the event. But they usually pull some surprises for SummerSlam. Like last year, was it last year when Becky came out? She'd been injured. No, when Becky was pregnant and she came back at SummerSlam and beat Bianca in just a few minutes. Oh, no, last year was because they were in Nashville. Last year was when Bayley and the group came back. So there's always surprises. And there's always, you know, some fun stuff that goes along with SummerSlam. So given how good the WWE shows have been this year, and I did not see Money in the Bank.
Oh, you didn't? So we didn't talk about Money in the Bank.
I didn't
think we did.
Yeah, we didn't because I didn't watch it.
Man, listen, overall it was okay, but the pop Seth Rollins got when he came out, if you get a chance, just at least go back and watch it. Him, that the match was okay, but go back and watch his, that dude, he's their star. Like, I know he's
he ain't Roman,
right? But I'm just saying, like, if they get it right with him at some point, like, I'm telling you, Chuck, if you go back and watch his intro,
but see, here's the thing, it's his gimmick is so ridiculous, though. I mean, look, he's a terrific wrestler. Like, he's he might, I think he's the best in-ring guy in WWE. And that takes into account Cody Rhodes. I think Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins are the two best in-ring guys that they have in the promotion. And Seth is a terrific wrestler. But his gimmick is so stupid. Like, that whole, the Monday, again, just the boas and just the look. And then the singing of the song, the whole thing is ridiculous.
I know.
It's ridiculous. It looks so different than when Roman comes out to the music and it's a big production, you know he's the guy.
Right.
Like you know instantly when you look at Roman Reigns, okay, he's the guy.
Right.
But with Seth Franklin Rollins. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Like, I don't know.
Well, I tell you what, if you get a chance again, watch from the beginning, from when his music comes on, because like what you're saying about Roman, he had that moment that particular night.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I mean, he's a very popular wrestler because, again, they sing the song and all that good stuff, and I get that. I mean, I think he's even when he was Tyler Black back in Ring of Honor, he was a terrific worker. I mean, he's always been a great wrestler, especially for modern style wrestling. Like, it's not classic grappling and stuff like that. I mean, he does a very modern style, like Daniel Bryan. But again, I'll say he's the best worker in the WWE. But his gimmick is just ridiculous. Like, it's just...
Yeah, I don't get it. It's almost like he's a cross between Macho Man and... Who was I thinking? I was saying Macho Man and somebody else, like, but...
A lunatic? I
mean, but...
That's what it is. I mean, it's just... He hasn't had a good gimmick since The Shield.
Yeah.
I mean, that was his last really good gimmick. All this other stuff they tried with him, the Monday Night Messiah... And all these other gimmicks that they've tried have been awful.
Yeah.
And it's funny because, I mean, again, you know, given who his wife is, and she was the all-timer of getting herself over. I mean, she got herself, she was Austin-esque in the sense of how she got herself over.
Right.
To having flipped the script on, you know, being a heel and then being, I mean, she at one time was the most popular wrestler. She was the number one merch mover for the WWE, but it's just, I don't know, his presentation is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
I know how good a worker he is, but it's just ridiculous when you watch him. So, but it, you know, Brock's back now, so him and Cody are going to have their third match, so that's going to be probably Cody going over and stuff like that. It looks like Gunther is going to take on Drew McIntyre for the and that was, you know, again, that was a fun match. The Drew McIntyre Sheamus Gunther match at WrestleMania. That was his I'm telling you, that was as physical of a match as I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like that was that felt like that they were really going after one another. And so hopefully him and McIntyre have a good match. Because I like McIntyre. I've had Drew on the show a couple of times. I think he's a good wrestler. I think he did not get booked very well when he beat Brock at WrestleMania in the pandemic year. His booking was not very good. But there's always some surprise. I wonder if Randy Orton is going to end up coming back. There's a lot of talk about he's going to come back with Riddle, or there's talk about he can form an alliance with Cody Rhodes or something like that. So, but there's a lot of talk about they didn't know when he was going to come back. They thought maybe at the beginning of the year he could come back. But I wonder if SummerSlam is where they're going to debut Randy and bring him back.
I saw on Facebook, I think yesterday, that one surprise that's supposedly being talked about is the Rock's niece and the other young lady that's all part of that whole family. But they're supposed, the two young ladies, they're supposed to come back and somehow tie into the bloodline thing.
Oh, the niece?
Was it the Rock's niece? His niece and his daughter, or his daughter?
Well, his daughter's in NXT.
Okay, so.
And then Nia Jax is.
So Nia.
Oh, God.
And then, but supposedly.
She's awful.
Yeah, but supposedly, that, it, again, rumor. You know, I saw it on Facebook, one of those wrestling Facebook groups. So.
So the other rumor has been, is that, you know who the Usos' father is?
Yeah, Rikishi. Yeah.
Yeah. There's been rumors about, is he going to come back or not? You know, would he make an appearance?
Right.
Like, let me tell you, if Rikishi made an appearance and backed up his kids, that would blow the roof off the place.
Yeah.
Like that would, because again, this is the tribal. This is for the tribal council or whatever like that, right? The Roman. You know, for the council, it would blow the roof off the place if. Again, if Afa and Sika showed up, and they've done some stuff for WWE, if they physically can show up, and Rikishi showed up, oh my God, it'd blow the roof. They're in Detroit
Is that where it's going to be?
Yeah, Detroit SummerSlam for. I think it's at Ford Field.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
okay.
I think it's going to be at Ford Field where they have SummerSlam.
Something's definitely going to happen, I think, as far as that storyline goes, just because of how SmackDown ended on Friday.
Yes, and they. This is the kind of show where you advance that story big time. Like, this is the kind of show where you start to advance the storyline at some point. So you have to do it at SummerSlam. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's always – SummerSlam's always a big event. But they treat it like their number two pay-per-view, and there's usually some good surprises going along with it. So we'll see what happens. But that's a week from Saturday, the 5th of August. All right, when we come back, I'm going to wrap it up with the Love TKO, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey.com app.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.